What I want to talk about is rest in God. And if you look at the word of God, Hebrews 4, it talks about there's a rest in God, that we, the people of God, can know peace and we can know rest. How does that come about? And our rest in God is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And God calls us into that. He calls us into the rest of his Son. And what do we need rest from? And we need rest from many things. We need rest from condemnation. We need rest from the tyranny of sin. We need rest from this world. But to enter into that rest, you have to conquer certain enemies. And unless you do that, you will not enter into that rest of God. Joshua, when he was told to go into the promised land, to enter into the promised land, he had to conquer enemies. And when he conquered them, it says, Joshua knew peace. And before we can enter in to the rest of God in Jesus Christ, there's enemies we have to feed. And the word of God calls them the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, what I want to focus in on is Satan. Because he's an enemy who will do all he can to oppose us entering in to the finished work of Jesus Christ and to know God's peace and God's rest. And we also have to know, it's crucially important to know the ground we stand on, because that's where the enemy constantly comes to attack, the ground that we stand on in Jesus Christ. But the ground that we were on before we came to Christ was ground of disaster. Absolute disaster. And the Word of God pulls no punches with us. It tells us in very, very blunt language that the ground we were on outside of Jesus Christ was disastrous ground because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And it says in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is righteous and never sins. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Proverbs 20 and verse 9, who can say, I have kept my heart pure? I am clean and without sin. No man. No man can say that. And in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, it says, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We were dead. Dead people. The ground that we occupy outside of Jesus Christ, we are dead people without hope. Disastrous ground. And in Psalm 14 and verse 1, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there's any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. So, Romans 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, the payment for sin is death. So that was the ground we were on. We were on disastrous ground. We were on ground of no hope. We were on ground that we could do nothing about. Because the Word of God tells us there's nothing about. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So there was a massive schism between us and God. That was that for us, for men, for the seed of Adam, was impossible, absolutely impossible to bridge. We couldn't bridge it. There was no hope for us. We were dead people under the sentence of death, and that's what faced us. And that's the ground that Satan comes on, because the Bible says he is our accuser. It says in Revelation 12 and verse 10, "For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, have been hurled down." Now, Satan in Hebrew means accuser. He's our adversary. He opposes us. He's our accuser. He comes and he accuses us on the ground of sin. And his accusations on this ground outside of Jesus Christ is correct. And what he says to us, "You are like me. I have fallen. I was an angel of light. Now I'm an angel of darkness. And I'm under the condemnation of God, but so are you. So are you under the condemnation of God. There's nothing good in you. There's no righteousness in you. You are like me." And that's the accusations he comes at us. And he accuses us day and night. Now, what's he looking for off us? What does Satan want? What's his purpose? What's his aim? What's in his heart? And it says of him in Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once lay low the nations, you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly of on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" Satan wants to be God to us. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to bow his heart before him. And if you look at Matthew 4 and verse 8, when he came to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and he says to him, "Bow down to me." Showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the riches of them, the power of them, the prestige. He said to Jesus, "You can have all this. I will give you all these kingdoms. I will make you incredibly wealthy beyond man's wildest dreams. I will give you authority. I will give you power over my kingdom if you will bow down and worship me." That's what he said to Jesus, "If you will bow down and worship me." Now, God's word tells us that the devil is active in his opposition to us. He's active. He's not passive. He's an active enemy who comes and he opposes us. And it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." James 4 and verse 7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Now, what do we resist? How do we resist the devil? because he's a powerful enemy, incredibly powerful enemy. If you read up on him, he was an amazing angel. He was created by God. He was awesome in his power, awesome in his beauty. And the word of God says he's active in this world. He has the whole world under his control. But I keep saying we're not of the world. We're of the kingdom of God. We are not people of the world. We are people of the blood, redeemed by Jesus Christ. So, when he comes, how do we resist him? How do we overcome him? The first thing we must understand is this. How did we get from the ground of condemnation, where we had no hope, where we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, how did we get from there into Jesus Christ? And it says this, and we need to always remember this. God is a just God. He's perfect in all his ways. And he can never show favoritism when he's given out his justice. His justice must be perfect. So we couldn't say to the devil and the fallen angels, I will judge you, I will put you into hell. But the sons of Adam, well, I'll show them favoritism. Because then his justice wouldn't be perfect. It wouldn't be perfect. And God is perfect in all his ways. He's perfect in his mercy. He's perfect in his justice. So how did God deal with the sins of Adam? And we know this, but sometimes you need to look at it and understand it. Because when we cross over to the ground that's in Jesus Christ, sometimes we're like people who are on this ground. We're troubled, we're accused, we're under condemnation. The devil comes and he just bangs us about. And it says in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when you look at this and you meditate upon it and you look what this is saying, this is a dreadful, unbelievable part of Scripture. Because it says that the living God crushed his own son, Jesus Christ. That the Father sent the Son. And that to win our salvation, to take us from the kingdom of darkness, it says he crushed his son. He afflicted him. Why did he do that? Because dealing with sin is not a theory to God. God had to deal with sin in its totality. It wasn't something that was just, he had to do it. And he sent his son, his beloved son, who was never separated from the Father. And he came and he hung upon that cross. And the wrath of God crushed him. God crushed him. And we all know when he was on the cross, the heart cries from him. When he was in the garden, the heart cries to his Father. Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, and there was no other way, there was no other way. So the penalty for our sins, which I read out earlier on, was put upon him. And he paid that price in its totality. He paid it in full. Absolutely. To the last farthing, he paid the price. All your sins, every last one of them, the past, the present, future, whatever, has been paid for. It's been paid for. So now we move from the ground of condemnation, and we know how we get to the ground that's in Jesus Christ. This is the ground to rest. This is the ground where we rest from the condemnation of the enemy. But there's lots more things we rest in. What I want to focus on is rest from condemnation. And believe you me, brothers and sisters, unless you win that ground, unless you can declare victory on that ground, the devil will have a field day with you. You must come on to the ground in Jesus Christ and know the ground you stand on, know the ground you came from, and how you got from that ground, which was impossible to you, over to the ground in Jesus Christ. And we have got to that ground through his shed blood. Now what do we do when we're on that ground? Because the enemy comes and he constantly seeks to undermine the cross of Jesus Christ. He constantly seeks to pull down his lordship. He constantly seeks to tell you there's another penalty. God will not accept you. You're not good enough. You will never be good enough. He pulls up past sins. He does everything in his power to undermine the ground and the peace of God that's been offered to you in Jesus Christ. Now, how do we handle that? And you know, God's word says that how we handle that is we resist the devil. We resist the devil. So when he comes to us with his lies and his condemnation, we take a stand against him. And we stand against him. Now how do we stand against him? We do not do it in our own strength. Because believe you me, you have no ground to stand on. You really haven't. We have no ground to stand on. If I stand on my own ground, the word of God condemns me. I've no ground to stand on in and of myself. I've no strength. I've nothing to resist the devil with in and of myself. So how do we resist him? We resist him in the power of God. And it says, Romans 8 and verse 37, "No, in all things, we are more than conquerors to him who loved us." Now, conquerors is a word where you have to conquer something. You have to battle, right? And the word of God says, we're more than conquerors through him who strengthens us. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 John 5, verses 4 to 5, it says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world." That's the devil. Even our faith, trusting in Jesus Christ and his work. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Our victory is in Jesus, not in ourselves, not on our own ground. It's on his ground, his blood. And it's Philippians 4 and verse 13, it says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Psalm 144 verses 1 to 2, "Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge." God is our fortress. He's our stronghold. He's our deliverer. He's our shield. And it's in him, in his strength, his power, in his shield, in his fortress, in his stronghold, we take refuge. And that's in Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name. Now, 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 3 to 6, it says, though we live in the world, we do live in the world, and it's a hostile world, because it's under his dominion, and it opposes us, and opposes God's people. But it says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Now, so when the devil comes and he attacks us and tries to bring us under condemnation, go for our holiness. He'll go for our righteousness. He'll go for our sanctification. And he uses the word of God. Believe you me, he uses the word of God. And he will say to you, you know, God says you are to be holy. But look at you. Look at your life. Look at how you're living. You're a million miles away from holiness. You're standing on your own ground, if you believe that. You've got to get understand that. Always be careful what ground you're standing on. Because when you stand on your own ground, he's going to get a victory over you. He's going to bring you under condemnation. I'm not good enough. God doesn't love me. God is not pleased with me. God is against me. God's not there for me. God's not listening to me. All that stuff will come and will rob us of our peace in Jesus Christ, will rob us of our confidence in God, will rob us of our confidence in God's only Son, and what a price was paid for us. And how do we answer the enemy? The Father crushed the Son. That's what I say. We have to have an anger sometimes. Determination in our hearts. When the devil comes and he talks to me about holiness, I answer him. And I say to him, 1 Corinthians verse 30, Christ Jesus has come for me, for us. Wisdom from God. There is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. I'm giving you headlines here. Go and study that. Go and see what the Word of God says about being holy and righteous in Jesus Christ. And it's tremendous. It's the work of the cross in us. God's not looking for us to do it. God hasn't asked us to do it. And the reason why he hasn't asked to do it, because it was impossible. We had no hope. We were condemned. But God found a way. And God has called us onto the ground of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where we must occupy, and that's where we must take our stand. We take our stand in Jesus Christ against the enemy. You know, God's word says some incredible things to us, that deep, the spiritual truths, and we need the Holy Spirit of God to bring us into the revelation of them. We can't understand them with our human mind. We've got to renew our mind. Let the Holy Spirit renew our mind. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Positionally, you have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. A faith is in Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. I do not set aside the grace of God. This is God's ground. Grace abundant. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, that's through our self-effort, through our us trying to be holy, us trying to be good, trying to get acceptance before God through our own works or effort. And he says, if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. If we could attain our own righteousness by works, Christ died for nothing. He died for nothing. That's what the Word of God says. But he didn't die for nothing, because it was impossible for us, any one of us, to have attained our own righteousness. Our own righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Our holiness is in Christ Jesus. Our sanctification is inside Christ Jesus. Our peace is in Christ Jesus. Our joy is in Christ Jesus. Our strength is in Christ. Our very life is in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says, eat of my body, drink of my blood. He's telling us our very life is in him. The very life of God. And it says of him, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Romans 5 and verse 9 says, since we have now been justified. Now that's a statement of a fact. Since we have been now justified, in who? Jesus Christ. By our own efforts? Was it by our own efforts? No. It was a work of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. Since we have been now justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Revelations 1 and verse 5, it says, to him who loves us, love. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. Praise God. And we are to be people, especially, and I really urge us who belong to the tribe of liberty, that we have a confident voice. We have a strong voice. We have a voice of authority. Because the word of God says, you can resist the devil. That's an amazing statement. An amazing statement. This powerful being, incredibly powerful being, who does incredible evil. But God says, if you resist him, he will flee from you. And that's where I've just read how we resist him is in Jesus Christ, by the work of Christ, by the word of God. And we must be people who are active in our faith. When the devil comes with his liars and his condemnation, the word of God says he's the father of liars. When he comes, we must know how to resist him. We must know how to protect the ground we're on in Jesus Christ. We must not allow him to come in and rob us of our peace. We mustn't do that. Because otherwise we're tossed to and fro. Well, one day we're trusting in God. The next day, 2 days later, we're cast to the four winds. We're under condemnation, doubt, fear. You name it. And that's our relationship in God. It's up and it's down. And it's up and it's down because we're not resisting the devil as God has told us we need to resist him. And we need to be active in our faith. And we need to not just lie down under his attacks, under his condemnation, under his liars. When he says to you, if you have a sin in your life it's big, that it won't let you, seemingly won't let you go, has a hold to you, and you've been praying and praying and praying, and he comes with these liars, God's not going to deliver you. You shouldn't be really in the people of God. You shouldn't be going there. You shouldn't be this. I've gone through it all. What I'm talking now is true experience. I'm 25 years and more in the Lord. And I've come through times when I've known great darkness, when I thought it was over, when I thought I had failed God, when I thought God was a million miles away from me. And that was a horrible time, and it's real. And God's grace came in. Remember this. When he breaks through, God's grace pours in. And I've known incredible times when I was down in the pit, just feeling myself crushed because I loved this God. When he saved me, it was an incredible experience. I had no time for religion. I was a cursor of God. I called people who believe in God fools. Look at this God I'm talking about, the God of love, and look at the world. Absolute idiots. And God found me, and he opened my eyes. And I'm telling you, it was an incredible experience. And I loved this God so much that when sin broke through, I went down like a ton of bricks. And I would feel condemned and I would feel crushed. And God would come in with his grace. And those experiences I still think about were amazing. One minute I'd be absolutely under dreadful darkness, just feeling condemned. And the next minute I'd be praising God because the grace of God was such a wonderful thing. And I came in and I'd be jumping and I'd be praising God and I'd be wanting to tell everyone about God, right? And that went on for a time. And one day, I fell. And I was in that position. And God came to me and says, Peter, get up. And you know, that was a time when I actually grew in God. I can remember a number of times when the Holy Spirit came and gave me such revelation, and it was like you just grow 10 years in the Lord in a matter of 5 minutes of that revelation. And God says to me, Peter, get up. And I knew in my spirit immediately, God said, I'm not lifting you up, Peter. You're not a babe anymore. You're not a baby anymore. I want you to get up. And I'm telling you, I wasn't over happy about it. Because the other times when I was a babe and the grace of God came in, it really was a fantastic time. It wasn't the time I was going to come, but when God came in and lifted me, it was just amazing, wonderful. But he said, no, get up now and walk. And I knew at that time, with the understanding of the Holy Spirit, I was no longer a babe. God was no longer going to treat me as a baby. God was saying to me, you now walk, and you start to learn. And he didn't do it in a way that was harsh, because I thank God that I'm not still a babe. Really do thank God and going through those times. And I'm going to end with this. What I wanted to say to us is, we have to be a people who wage war. The Word of God tells us that. And we have to be a people who are strong in the faith. And we have to stand in the finished work that is Jesus Christ. And it says this. God says to Joshua when he was going to the promised land, Joshua, be strong. Be very courageous. He said it to him a number of times. Because believe you me, we look at Joshua and we think, oh, this was a strong man and incredibly, and he was in some ways, but he was going in to do what was impossible. And God told him, be strong. The battle is not yours, Joshua, it's mine. We need to understand that. We fight the battle, but God gives us the victory in his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to be active in our faith. He says we're to stand our ground. We're to resist the devil. These are all actions. This is faith in action. God doesn't, He doesn't tell us, you don't do any fighting, I'll do it all for you. No, he says, stand. And the victory is sure, absolutely sure in Jesus Christ. Absolutely. There's no question about it. In him, the victory is assured. And it says, and we all know it well, I'll just read it out, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's the opening statement. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So when Paul is going on down talking about the armor of God, he's already told us where our power lies, right? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Now what armor are we putting on? Are we putting on our own armor? We're putting on the full armor of God. David, when he went out to face Goliath, Saul says to him, put on my armor. And he put it on, but it didn't fit him. It was uncomfortable. He didn't know. He said, look, God has given me the lion. I know my God will give me the victory. And David went out with the armor of God on him. He was strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And David knew that. And David said to Goliath, this day you will fall, because he knew where his strength lay. He knew where the power came from. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, with the stand against the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world. Satan has a kingdom. It's organized. His powers, his authorities. But they're defeated in Jesus Christ. Of this dark world. And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Now, the ground we stand on, we're able to stand on the ground that is in Jesus Christ. Not on our own ground, but in his ground. And after you have done everything to stand. Now, what does that mean, after you have done everything to stand? The devil will wipe us out in our own strength. But when we stand in Jesus Christ, when we've done everything, when we stepped into him, we believed him, we take our refuge in him. Just reading now earlier on, he's our stronghold, he's our refuge, he's our shield. So when we stand in God, we stand. Believe you me, we stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. Who's truth? Jesus Christ. Buckled around your waist. And the breastplate of righteousness. Where is our righteousness? It's in Jesus Christ. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Whose gospel is it? Jesus Christ's gospel. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Where does our faith lie? In Jesus Christ. With which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All them. Which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. His liars. His accusations. His condemnation. You can extinguish all them by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to think of that. Of a light and arrow being fired at you, and the blood of Jesus is putting it out. Just extinguishing it. Take the helmet of salvation. Who's our salvation in? Jesus Christ. and the sword of the Spirit of God. And with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now we need to be a praying people. But all of these things to Yamba, when you look at them, what it means is being in Jesus Christ. The breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the gospel of peace. It's all in Jesus Christ. And we are in Christ Jesus by the incredible power of God. And we need, and all of these things mean nothing, brothers and sisters, if this is not activated by faith. Because it says of those who come out of Egypt, in Hebrews 4, and it's talking about the rest of God, it says that the gospel that was preached to those who come out of Egypt was of no effect because they didn't combine it with faith. Now, all what I read out there, and all where I've gone over, this becomes the living word of God by faith. You must activate it by faith. The word of God says, be active, resist, stand firm. These are all actions of faith. We're not to be a passive people. We're not to let the devil come in and just oppress us and condemn us. We're to stand firm with the word of God and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. His blood has cleansed me. I'm in his righteousness. My righteousness is in Christ. My holiness is in Christ. My sanctification is in Christ. I have the sword of the Spirit. I have the shield. God is my refuge. God is my strength. We need to have a strong voice. And believe you me, the word of God says the devil will flee because he cannot stand before the truth. Praise God. Thank you, O God.